right, welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, it's one of our monthly trailer special roundups where Jason Harris from Awesome Movier joins me. And instead of doing our usual format of just talking about one new movie and what movies might have inspired it, we look at trailers for a whole bunch of new movies coming out this month and try to guess what might have inspired it just based off those trailers. And we got a lot of movies to cover, so that is coming up here in a second. Before we get to it, I want to remind you, as always, to make sure you're subscribed to Piecing It Together wherever you listen to podcasts. You can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod and join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about here on the show. And also, before we get to the conversation, we got to do some listener puzzle pieces. And I didn't get a lot this month. I did get a lot from one person, but not a lot overall. Our buddy Joe Black sent in puzzle pieces for all three of the episodes that we did in October. So October was kind of a slow month as far as like main episodes are concerned, because I had a whole bunch of special episodes. I had that awesome conversation with Caleb Quay about concert films. I had that interview with John Tolson about future cult classics. And then the Royal Hotel episode just came out, so I haven't gotten any listener pieces yet on that one. So really only three episodes to get any feedback from the listeners on for October. Starting with The Kill Room, Joe Black sent in Velvet Buzzsaw, which is one that I had thought about for that episode, but I've never actually seen, but like based on the themes of like skewering the art community, it definitely came to mind. He also mentioned Get Shorty and Be Cool, which another thing that came to mind as well, but I haven't seen those in a long time, so that's why I didn't bring that up. And then The Whole Nine Yards, which great addition to the list, and also rest in peace, Matthew Perry. Just absolutely shocking and horrible news there, but maybe I gotta watch The Whole Nine Yards again one of these days. The Expendables, Joe Black mentioned Joe Carnahan's The A-Team and Under Siege, the Steven Seagal movie on a boat. I mean, come on, of course, that's a great one to include. And then for The Exorcist Believer, which we did a big live show on, Joe Black mentioned Mystic River and Signs. Mystic River, definitely that whole opening was kind of my favorite part of The Exorcist Believer. I liked it a lot better when it was a missing person movie before it turned into an Exorcist sequel. That's when it all kind of fell apart. So that's a good one. Signs, I'm not quite sure. I'll have to ask him where he made the connection with Signs, but Signs seems to come up a lot lately in puzzle pieces. So thanks to Joe for sending in all those puzzle pieces. We actually have a special episode with Joe coming up next week. And then we also will have Joe back on the show for some other episodes towards the end of the year. But as always, you know, we got a lot of episodes on the way for November. As always, if you think of a puzzle piece that we don't bring up on the podcast, please send them in and I will read them on the next trailer episode. So that is it for listener puzzle pieces. Let's get to our conversation about November 2023 films. All right, it's time for another month of trailers. Jason Harris is here. Jason, how are you doing?
Dave, it's just about Thanksgiving time. I love this time of year. And in honor of Thanksgiving, Dave, what's your favorite way of getting stuffed?
Oh, boy. I know you don't have that much time today, so let's not get too far off the beaten path here. It is Thanksgiving time, and it's also end of the year time. Like, we're getting into all the award season rush. It's starting to happen. This is also where it starts to get a little hard to do these trailer episodes, because limited releases and, like, you know, everything's spread out and whatnot. It gets a little complicated, but we'll do our best.
You know, Dave, we're pros, so we'll get through it, because we're professionals, Dave. This is what this is how we make a living, on talking about movie trailers on a
If that's the truth, then hopefully we've seen a lot of last month's movies. Let's start off with that. Of course, kicking it off with The Exorcist Believer, which we did a live Piecing It Together on, and was not a very good movie. You didn't see it, did you?
No, nobody likes it. Move on.
Yeah, okay. Creepy Crawly was one that I was looking forward to, but this is one of those, like, you know, indie, you know, just on VOD movies. I don't even know if it came out. I saw no noise about it. I don't know. I'm sure you didn't see that. Freelance, though, seems I mean, it was a comedy, so maybe a little more your speed. That just came out, I think, this week, even though we had listed it as one of the early releases of the month.
I don't even know where it would come out. That's that John Cena Lost City one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Cena, I think, is going to be a big – is obviously on his way to being a bigger star, but not making maybe the best choices this year.
Yeah, not that we put a lot of faith in Rotten Tomatoes or anything, but I think I read that it has a 0% Rotten Tomatoes rating right now, which not too good.
He needs Dave Bautista to kind of help guide him. You know, you either become the
absolutely
big huge star like The Rock and never do anything worthwhile anymore, or to curate a career like Bautista and always do interesting movies.
For sure. Reptile looked interesting, but that is another movie that just kind of came and went, didn't make much noise. I believe it was Netflix.
It's on Netflix. So, I was going to watch it. I think it's like 2 hours, 15 minutes, and I'm just like, come on, man. I could.
Yeah.
But maybe, I mean, that's no excuse not to watch a movie, as you know, as we'll get to Killers of the Flower Moon, which we both did see. But
sure.
Yeah, but hopefully before the end of the year, we catch that one, right?
Absolutely. The Marsh King's Daughter.
Don't think it came out, did it?
That did not come out. Now, maybe this was a delay because of the strike still ongoing, which is another thing that we kind of got to deal with right now with the delays and all these release dates. But yeah, that did not come out. So I don't know what happened with that. Foe came out, and even though everyone was super psyched about it, at least, you know, in like the film Twitter and like movie podcasters and critics and all that, terrible reviews. I want to see it, but I don't think it opened here in Vegas, and yeah, really bad reviews, so I don't know.
Don't even remember it. We do so many of these, so.
For sure. Cat Person, not out yet. Another one that maybe was delayed because of the strikes. Fair Play is out, and I've heard nothing but good things about it. I do want to see that one.
Yeah, that's on my catch-up list. I got a nice list of 2023s I'm going to catch up on.
For sure. Killers of the Flower Moon, of course, is out, getting very good reviews. I was a little mixed on it. We're going to actually be talking about it in a full episode of Piecing It Together. Jason's my guest on that one. So we'll talk about that at length when we get to that one. Old Dads, Bill Burr. Not great reviews, but I mean, I've heard some people say it was pretty funny. Did you watch that?
Not yet. I will be watching it. But, you know, what I notice is a lot of my comedian friends love it. So maybe it's just one of those that is not for critics. But hey, we'll get back to you. I like I was telling you before we started recording, I just watched Megan. I'm in the middle of the Shyamalan movie. So it's like if you were asking me about movies that came out this year that we covered in other months, I'd be ready to go.
Oh, there you go. Cool. Good to know. Five Nights at Freddy's is dominating this weekend that we're recording this. Terrible, terrible reviews, but fans of the whole game franchise seem to love it, and it's making a shitload of money. So, you know, I guess that's what counts, kind of. Neither of us really plan.
I think it's going to ruin your prediction for the rest of the year. You said that Taylor Swift was going to beat the rest of the movies 2 through 10 altogether, right? I think Five Nights at Freddy's is going to destroy that for you.
Well, I did have Five Nights at Freddy's in my top 10 predictions, so at least I won't be too far off. But yeah, we'll get to Taylor Swift. Pain Hustlers was next, which, again, another Netflix movie that's also getting very bad reviews. I have not seen that one yet.
Chris Evans is another one who could use some...
a little career path change for sure. Yeah. The Killer, not out yet, but I did get to see it, actually, and we'll be doing a Piecing It Together episode on that is very good. It's great to see a new David Fincher movie that feels like a David Fincher movie. It's not the best thing I've seen all year, but it's solid and very enjoyable.
Paul Schrader wasn't a fan.
Yeah, I know, he wasn't. He's kind of not a fan of anything, though. but he was a fan of Taylor Swift, maybe sarcastically. Taylor Swift, The Eras Tour, the last one on the list from last month, which I actually went and saw twice. That's how good it is. It's freaking amazing.
Why did you see it twice? What's wrong with you?
Well, first of all, it was every bit as good as I expected it to be, and then some. And I kind of figured, like, either I can go see it in Dolby Cinema a second time, or I could spend, like, $500 on tickets when they eventually announce more shows. And I was like, this is probably the smarter option. So I went and saw it again in the theater, you know?
You're a 40-year-old man, Dave. Get it together.
I like music. I like all kinds.
I like music too. I'm sick of her.
Like, you don't like Taylor Swift?
She's amazing. I don't dislike her, but this whole thing with the Travis Kelce, it's ruining football for me this year.
Yeah, well, I don't watch football, so you know, maybe if she showed up in Super Mario Wonder, I would be mad. But you know, that we could talk about later too. Let's get to November's movies. And first of all, before we get into our list, it is time to announce that we are doing a live show on Eli Roth's Thanksgiving, the expansion of his fake trailer from Grindhouse all those years ago. The show is going to be on November 17th at Art House, and Jason is one of the guests on that one, as well as Michael Keane and Jimmy Gonzalez. Looking forward to that live show. I'm looking forward to the movie. It looks like it's going to be a silly, fun time, hopefully.
Is this the... No, it's not, but I know all those people. I was trying to think of like if we did a full lineup with everyone of us together before, but it will be fun. Just from watching the trailer, I have already made a list of pieces.
Nice. Awesome. Yeah, I've got a couple of mine too. So we'll save those for the actual live show. But anyone in Vegas, hopefully you'll come out to that. Again, November 17th at Art House. And let's get into the rest of our list for November. We start off with the A24 film All Dirt Roads Taste of Salt, which will be in theaters November 3rd. It's the debut from Raven Jackson. And it's kind of hard to tell exactly what this one's about, but it obviously takes place in the South. These people are living through some very difficult, hard times, and it seems to take place over a long span of time as well. It looks interesting. What do you think of this?
Well, I mean, I don't know how much you know about Raven Jackson, but this, you know, reminds me, I know it's her featured debut, but you know, having seen some of her other work, when I watched this, it looked right up her alley. I just thought to myself, that's so Raven.
Is that the same Raven?
I did, no, not at all. But I did. I went a long way to do it. That's so Raven pun. So,
I mean, it could have been. I mean, anything's possible. So, but
yeah. Yeah. No. This. This is. I know this was a Sundance one, right? So.
Yeah.
So this is. It doesn't tell us much. I mean, I think you did a good job describing it. I thought of another Sundance hit that we covered in Awesome Movie Year, Beasts of the Southern Wild, sure, which looks like, yeah, kind of people with economic, I guess you would say lower class, you know, means how they were surviving in the South. And then there was a great documentary a few years ago that got a lot of raves when it was out, but I think people have forgotten about it. Hale County This Morning, This Evening. Did you ever see that?
I remember when it came out and people raved about it. I never saw it.
It was really good. And I mean, Dave, this is the benefit of these episodes, is to like pull from that well and be like, hey, if you're looking for something that, you know, you haven't seen in a while, or maybe you've never seen, like, this is one to mark down.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll have to seek that out. It sounds good. Yeah, I, of course, had Beast of the Southern Wild as well. I mean, especially it seems like they're dealing with some kind of storm going on in the South there. So, I mean, I had to include that. Also, I put the Tree of Life. It feels like we got some, you know, Malick-style vibes here with, you know, capturing all of everything all at once, kind of. So, yeah, it looks like an interesting movie. I'll want to see that one when it comes out. Next up is Rustin, which will be in theaters November 3rd, and then on Netflix November 17th, a movie about the person who organized the Martin Luther King March on Washington, starring Coleman Domingo. And yeah, I actually don't know much about this story. You know, I'm a terrible history student, so I don't know much about this guy. Are you very aware of this story?
I'm not, but I am aware that Coleman Domingo is about to become a megastar because he's a really good actor, and he's kind of taken the path of some other actors we've seen in the past few years. So I think he's really on the way up. But this did remind me of Get on the Bus, the Spike Lee movie. Is a pretty good underrated Spike Lee film about people going to the Million Man March. And then, of course, I think Rustin is a gay political activist whose spirit kind of encapsulates, you know, whatever the movements are. And I mean, I thought of Sean Penn. I thought of Milk.
Sure. Yeah, no, that's a good one to include there. I hadn't thought of that, but definitely I thought of Selma as far as like another movie that, you know, deals from another angle of the MLK march. But then also I was thinking of the trial of the Chicago Seven because of another true story where like the powers that be were looking at these people as like troublemakers and just had absolutely no respect for them, you know? So that's just a couple that I was thinking about, but I don't know. It looks like an interesting movie. And I think those four puzzle pieces, like right off the bat, would make me want to watch this movie. So definitely a good combination of influences, if any of those are accurate. So we'll move on to What Happens Later in theaters November 3rd. This is the return of Meg Ryan to rom-coms, and this time she's directing. Co-stars David Duchovny. And they're two people who used to be together, and then they run into each other at an airport, and when their flights are delayed, they have to spend time together. Looks a little like a movie that we're going to be talking about on Awesome Movie here, huh?
Right. I had Planes, Trains, and Automobiles down there on my list over there, which is a little Thanksgiving goodness from Awesome Movie Year to all of our listeners.
Yep.
It's just a great movie anyway. But I'm kind of excited for this. I like the idea of a rom-com for an older generation. Obviously, Dave, you know, I mean, we talk about the Before series a lot. This is basically a walking, talking in an airport, right? So
sure.
I guess of all of them, this would be the closest to like Before Midnight. I mean, it's almost a combination of Before Sunset and Before Midnight because they had a past already and then they get back together and, you know, now they're older and everything like that. So, and then you're stuck in an airport. That's the terminal. Ticket to Paradise last year, Clooney and Julia Roberts, older people. Getting it on. Yeah.
Absolutely. I also included Destination Wedding. Keanu Reeves and Winona Ryder kind of stuck together while traveling. But that could kind of go along with your Ticket to Paradise as well. And then also, it seemed like there's some like heightened moments here, you know, maybe getting a little bit into playing with the genre. So I put They Came Together, the David Wayne rom-com parody. So
hey, Dave, I just saw David Wayne on stage at the State Reunion Tour. And
so lucky.
I mean, I am lucky, but we bought tickets and went. You could have done the same thing. You've traveled for shows before.
I'm so busy.
Dude, knock it off. You could have gone.
I can't travel every week.
I went for one day and came back the next, and it was so great. They're awesome. Oh. I hope we get more from them.
Hell yeah, me too. Next up, limited release on November 3rd. I'm not sure when exactly it expands, but Priscilla, the new Sofia Coppola film about Priscilla Presley, basically being groomed by Elvis Presley. That seems to be the way to describe this movie and what the take is here. Is that what you got from the trailer?
I just thought it was like, as they said, a reinvention of the story of an icon told through the other point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if there had been a movie about Elvis last year, I would have put that on the list, but obviously.
Yeah.
That was, did you like that movie? Did you like Elvis? Come on.
I did. I loved it. It was just, if you're going to do a movie that hits all those same music biopic, you know, beats, like go over the top with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I was thinking, you know, of other stories told from perspectives of people who become big but weren't big. And I thought of That Thing You Do. And I thought of Win a Date with Tad Hamilton because she's not the famous one, right? And then sure. Ever After, I thought, wasn't that like the idea of like telling a fairy tale from the female point of view back in the day when it was all male point of view? So I thought of that.
Okay. Yeah, that's an interesting one to include there for sure. You can't even like not bring up that Elvis movie. So, I mean, of course, I had it written down. I also had Blonde, last year's Marilyn Monroe movie, which was like a much, much, much darker version of, you know, what we normally think of as this big glamorous Hollywood story. And then I just put the Naked Gun movies because of Priscilla Presley.
Oh, there you go. I rewatched the first one not too long ago. It's fun.
So good.
Yeah.
The best. Dream Scenario will be in theaters November 10th. This movie just looks amazing. It's Nicolas Cage as this like kind of just regular average guy who all of a sudden, for some reason, everybody starts dreaming about. I I don't even know. This just seems like a movie made for me. I can't wait.
It does. I mean, I love these types of movies too, based on my picks here. I mean, wouldn't it be cool if after all this, Nicolas Cage got an Oscar nomination? I think you could make an argument in the last few years, something like Piggy could have gotten something, right? So
sure.
But yeah, I mean, I thought of Stranger Than Fiction, the movie with Will Ferrell, where, you know, he kind of loses control of his life to an author who's writing him, or that's the whole thing. So like, this seems like that idea of like, hey, he's now beyond himself. He belongs to everybody.
Sure. Yeah.
And then, you know, why I said I love these type of movies, I thought of like The Science of Sleep and Being John Malkovich. So that's what this kind of feels like. And, you know, those are two all-timers for me.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Lots of great ones there. I hadn't thought of Stranger Than Fiction, but that definitely fits really well. Speaking of Being John Malkovich, I went Synecdoche, New York. A lot of weird meta Charlie Kaufman-like stuff here and the whole dream logic and all that. I also thought of Secret Life of Walter Mitty with Ben Stiller. This boring, random guy just kind of ending up in all these dreamlike scenarios. So, and then, of course, The Truman Show as well.
Yeah.
Another version of something like you said, with Stranger Than Fiction. So, yeah, really looking forward to that one. Next up, The Holdovers, also November 10th in theaters. The new Alexander Payne film, I think his first film in like 6 years or so. Stars Paul Giamatti as a teacher who has to hang around during Christmas break to babysit some students who are stuck there over break because they have nowhere to go back
to. At a private school is what you're saying.
At a private school, yes. And yeah, it looks like a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to
it. Me too. I think it looks great. And yeah, I mean, back to back, these two are really exciting. These movies, Dream Scenario and The Holdovers, of what's coming out here. You know, Wonder Boys, we've mentioned here before, but that kind of offbeat relationship with teachers and, you know, students, I thought, I mean, you can't look at The Holdovers and not think of another Alexander Payne school movie, Election. And sure. Then I recently rewatched School of Rock, and I thought like that kind of, you know, mismatched version of professor and students might fit here, although the tone is different.
Sure. No. Yeah. I mean, you could definitely, you know, fit that in there as well. I think Election, of course, is a great one to include. I'd throw Finding Forrester in there.
You're the man now, dog.
I was just hoping you would do that. Also, A Man Called Otto from last year with Tom Hanks is like an old curmudgeon kind of slowly warming up to the people he's stuck with. So all the old curmudgeon type movies, Driveways, Gran Torino, you know, all those kind of things. But yeah, it looks great. And Paul Giamatti is so much fun when he's angry about stuff.
When he's not doing phone commercials with Cecily Strong.
Sure. There you go. So the other movie coming out November 10th, which I'm sure we're not as excited about, The Marvels, the latest MCU film, which is both a sequel to Captain Marvel and to the TV show Miss Marvel, directed by Nia DaCosta. It seems to be built around a gimmick of these three superhero women who, when they use their powers, they end up swapping places and all hell breaks loose. It feels very video gamey in that setup. But I don't know. You know, these movies, we're obviously burnt out on them, but when they work, they're fun, and who knows, maybe it'll be all right.
But at least this one looks terrible.
I mean, fair. Yeah, absolutely fair.
I watched Miss Marvel on the Disney Plus. It's pretty good. I recommend that. That's pretty decent. Captain Marvel, I think, might be the worst Marvel movie that's ever been out there. I hated it.
Yeah, bottom five for sure.
So bad. Yeah. This movie looks terrible also. This just looks like a, you know, garbage pile. I don't think anyone's going to be excited about it. But hey, maybe I'm wrong. You know, you're thinking of like, hey, you're a superhero. We have to team up, blah, blah, blah. It's just the Expendables meets the Avengers, right? Is that what we're doing here with an all-female cast? So throw Ocean's 8 in there, too.
Hey, there you go. Ocean's 8. That's a good one to include. Yeah, I don't know. You know, I like Brie Larson, but the character and the movie was just terrible. And if this is more of that, then which it looks like, then I don't know.
I like Brie Larson too, but I don't know if Marvel is the right fit for her, even as
right.
What she, and I mean, we know she's a great actress, but like her type, you know, she as an actor doesn't feel like a Marvel person to me.
Yeah, but no, absolutely fair. Another movie that I hated, I'll use as a puzzle piece here, and that's The Cloverfield Paradox, because there are people, when they're switching universes, they might end up stuck in an area that they weren't expecting to. Like, there's a scene in that movie where somebody ends up literally in a wall because that's where they transported to.
Yeah.
And so, you know, here where people are getting, like, kind of switched around in different
places.
Whoopsie doopsies. And then I also just threw in, like, the Batman and Robin or Batman Forever, like those ones where it got really silly before they went and rebooted it with Batman Begins, you know, because it seems like we're getting, like, really goofy with this one.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I think, you know, another one of those, like, hey, you know, we covered John Carter of Mars or whatever on Awesome Movie, yeah, which is terrible, and Jumper,
which I like,
which is terrible. Remember Jumper? Yeah. You know, like,
I don't remember if I ever saw that, but yeah,
it's I always felt like they missed an opportunity when, you know, the guy gets away and the guy chasing him didn't look up to the sky and they did an overhead shot and he just yelled Jumper.
That'd be much better. Let's move on to The Hunger Games, The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes, in theaters November 17th. And then I finally don't have to see the trailer anymore because they show it every fucking time I go to the movies. Jason, are you a Hunger Games fan?
No.
I've never seen any of them.
I have.
I've just never had any interest in them. And I love Jennifer Lawrence, but
she's not
no
in
interest
this
in the series. Yeah, she's not in it.
I can't tell you how many I've seen. I feel like, were there three?
I think four, because they split the third one into two. I
mean,
so
I don't even know. I mean, I definitely have seen the first one, but I don't remember. I feel like I must have seen more, but who knows? But this is a prequel, right?
Yes, this is a prequel. Rachel Zegler stars, Viola Davis, Peter Dinklage. It's the same director as the other ones.
Good cast. You know, I not necessarily what I want to see them doing, right? But whatever, I get it. I thought of X-Men First Class because we're going back to before times. And of course, you know, another one of these people punting people movies. I went with the Hunt from a few years ago, which we weren't allowed to see due to right-wing conspiracies. But I did see it back then, and that's what this reminds me of also.
Yeah, absolutely. I went with Fantastic Beasts, the Harry Potter spinoff that, you know, wasn't very good, but, you know, they got to keep trying to pump things out from these universes.
Yeah, well, that's not fair because the Fantastic Beasts decided that you could only identify as a man or a woman, and whatever you're assigned at birth, that's what you are. So that was a little misguided as a series.
Yeah, I think so. I also threw Game of Thrones in there. It just feels like very...
It does, you know, feel like that, and stuff. Not just because Peter Dinklage is in there. And honestly, when you say that, I was watching it and I wanted more Tyrion Lannister. I wanted a little more of that zhuzh from Dinklage in this one.
He looks like he's really chewing scenery here. Which,
no, I wanted more of it. It looks like he's a little too understated for me.
Oh, okay. I thought he was like playing it big, but I don't know. We'll see. I definitely, you know, I have, like I said, no interest in this series, but, you know, we'll see. By the way, did you know the director, Francis Lawrence,
porn?
Spelled the same way as Jennifer Lawrence?
I knew he used to do porn, and then he started directing music videos for like Mandy Moore and stuff, and now he's a big movie director. How about that?
Random. Very random
story. He should make a blockbuster porn.
Wow. I did not know that. Yeah. Let's go to Next Goal Wins. November 17th in theaters. This is Taika Waititi's new film, which was delayed a bunch of times. I think we might have even talked about this at one point. But yeah, this is starring Michael Fassbender as a kind of fuck up soccer coach who has to go coach this terrible team in American Samoa. And yeah, I don't know. Taika Waititi was somebody that everybody loved until these Thor movies, so maybe this will be a return to that.
They loved the first Thor movie. I gotta say, like, you know, I've seen a lot of Taika movies and stuff like that, and Dave, I don't know, man. My favorite Taika movies are still Boy and The Hunt for the Wilder People, so I'm not really... I didn't like Jojo Rabbit at all, and I know, like, that's got, like, a, you know, love-hate relationship with people. The Thor movies, I kind of missed on them because I didn't really like that first one, and I like the second one a little more, but, like, nobody else does, and I don't blame them, so I'm wrong on that. But This I watched the documentary of this a long time ago, which is from 2014, and the documentary is great. Next Goal Wins. I highly recommend that. But this I know is not looking as good. So I don't know, man. This I'll probably watch it, but I don't necessarily want to watch it. You know, coach has to coach a team of people who aren't very good, or you know, miss fish out of water stuff. The Mighty Ducks, A League of Their Own. And then I'm going to throw another documentary on here called The Zen of Bobby V, about Bobby Valentine, the great Major League Baseball manager who went over to Japan and won some championships over there. And it was all about his time in Japan. That was a cool movie.
Okay, right on. Yeah, as far as like the coach type movies, you know, I was thinking about The Way Back with Ben Affleck, because, you know, it seems like Michael Fassbender's character is alcoholic. Is that right? You saw that
documentary. I thought so, based on this, and same thing with Gordon Bombay, who was arrested for drunk driving in The Mighty Ducks.
Oh, yeah. I haven't seen that in forever, so I don't know. I also thought of The Longest Yard, the Sandler one, just because I've never seen the original. But, you know, like this hothead, you know, coach kind of losing his cool. That's, you know, we always think of Sandler with that.
That would be great, because then if they're in a close game and they lose, he could just go, "You blew it!"
Let's move on to Wish, in theaters November 22nd. The latest Disney animated film, which kind of tries to bring back the old school watercolor animation, although it is still computer generated, stars Ariana DeBose as the main voice, the princess who learns how to use wishes, and Chris Pine is the evil king who controls all the wishes. I don't know. Looks okay. You usually watch these with your daughter, right?
I watch all of them, and this felt derivative of ones that I've already watched with her. You know, yeah. It's a princess has to break the rules of a kingdom because she feels they'll be better off with X, or because the kingdom is so short-sighted because of Y. And it just feels like, you know, there's always a secret, as in like turning red or this or that. I don't know. I put down Aladdin and Moana, obviously, for the two princesses. And then this is about all that granting wishes. There was that terrible movie on Apple TV Plus, Luck, about like how to create good or bad luck for people. And it felt like another one of these like high concept things that maybe is just not executable as well as it needs to be a movie. And this, maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but this doesn't look good to me, Dave.
Yeah, I don't think so either. I thought of Encanto, just the kind of the vibe of the main character. Also, I don't know if you'll get this reference, but I also thought of Super Mario Galaxy, the video game, because the little star guy that is along for the ride looks exactly like Luma, the little star character that follows Mario around in that game. I'm sure any video game players who listen to this podcast will know who that is. But yeah, I don't know. It doesn't really look good. Also, another thing, you know, I'm not a religious guy, but Chris Pine as this evil king who controls whether wishes come true or not. Like, is he God in this?
No, he
like,
just runs a kingdom. I mean, I haven't seen the movie. I feel like it's just kingdom, bro. So,
yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's just kind of what I got from that character.
But I like how you had to preface it with, you know, I'm not a religious guy. As this follows, like, the tenets of whatever religion that you're not a part of.
Well, I mean, this is Disney. It's super, super important. Let's go to Napoleon, the new Ridley Scott epic, in theaters, also November 22nd. Joaquin Phoenix stars as Napoleon, and telling about his rise to power and the woman who pushed him there. And I don't know. These movies, they're hit or miss for sure, but the good ones are great, you know, when Ridley Scott does the good ones.
Right. I mean, and that's the guy you want to do movies like this. So it's funny. I had Game of Thrones down as a puzzle piece for this one because of all the nice power jockeying and everything. You know, obviously you think you know, this is before the days of modern warfare. So I was thinking of movies that kind of talk about the rise to power like that, like Alexander, the ill-fated Alexander the Great one. And then I know it's a little more modern, but 1917, because I had to throw at least one of the more recent European war movies in there.
Sure, absolutely. I mean, Gladiator is an obvious one, but I also would think Braveheart, as far as, you know, the big giant epic war. The other thing I had, speaking of Joaquin Phoenix, Joker, a movie about the story's villain, basically. So, you know, you could throw that in there as well. I'm hopeful that this will end up being good. The Last Duel ended up being great a couple of years ago. And, you know, it's Ridley Scott, so I'm always there for Ridley Scott. The last one on our main list for the month of November is Saltburn. Will be limited release on November 22nd. And it's Emerald Fennell's follow-up to Promising Young Woman. People are calling this movie just absolutely crazy and insane. And it looks a lot like Talented Mr. Ripley. Barry Keoghan stars as a guy who kind of fakes his way into staying with Jacob Elordi, who actually is playing Elvis in that Priscilla movie, into his house to stay for the summer. Also stars Rosamund Pike and Richard E. Grant. And I don't know. I really don't know what to make of this one. I just can't get over just how similar it looks to Talented Mr. Ripley.
We just had a Richard E. Grant episode of Awesome Movie Year with Nail and I. So, you know, he's having a good year this year with this.
And, oh, yeah.
The Lesson. I thought of other movies that were, it's like, hey, we're going into this grand place, but there's a secrets to be had, like The Nest. You remember The Nest from a few years ago?
I don't remember that
Jude Law movie, and about like, hey, we're moving to the country and we're a happy family that's not really a happy family. And
Okay.
Kind of wanted more to happen, but it didn't. Stoker's another one like that. And then I thought of a movie that, talk about jumping the shark on these episodes, Dave. We once did a trailer for The Invitation, not the movie about like the cult dinner party, but about the one where like the woman tracks down her long lost cousin and they're like, oh, you have to come over. And then they just do the murders on her and stuff.
Yeah, you're pulling some deep cuts here. I don't remember these movies at all. They're all from the last couple of years, huh?
Well, The Invitation we did on this show. The Nest, yes, was a few years ago.
Yeah, okay. Well, right on. Yeah, and Stoker's a movie I've actually never seen that I've always wanted to watch. You know, everybody loves that movie. But anyway, yeah, Talented Mr. Ripley, of course, my number one. But also I threw on my list Marie Antoinette, because I know that they said that this film is filled with like a lot of modern pop songs. And while there's obviously a difference between the juxtaposition with the 1700s and modern, you know, music, it's still, you've got that like the high society thing mixed with modern pop songs. So kind of similar in that way. But yeah, I'm interested to see this one. The people who love it really, really love it. So I'm certainly curious. And I was mixed on Promising Young Woman, but she's definitely an interesting filmmaker. So I'll be watching it for sure.
The Nest was Sean Durkin from Martha May Marlene. So,
oh,
yeah.
Right on. Very cool. So I don't know. Did you watch any of these other trailers that we had?
I watched them all, like, Dave. Maybes? I watched them all. Yeah.
I mean, I certainly watched Maestro because I can't wait to see Maestro, but that will not actually be coming out in wide release until late December. I don't know if we'll get it here in Vegas in theaters. There's also Leo, the new Adam Sandler animated movie in Netflix, November 21st, and May December, which also is a limited release that will expand in December, but that looks really good.
That does look really good. That's Todd Haynes. That one was a big hit at Cannes, and that's going to Netflix, like you said. Maestro, of course, is also going to be good. Leo, it looks fun. I mean, but that's another one that's like, I think that's where I had Turning Red as a puzzle piece, and, you know, nice, Madagascar, yeah. Nemo. So, I mean, but May, December is like, you know, that's the, well, Maestro too. We'll see. So, you know.
Yeah, no, I think Maestro is going to be great. But yeah, both of those look really good. But yeah, that's our November. So does it. Everybody come on out to our Thanksgiving show November 17th. Jason will be there, as well as Michael Keane and Jimmy Gonzalez. 6 p.m. Art House. And there will be a link in the show notes. We'll also have a contest running to win some tickets. Jason, is there a movie you watched recently you want to recommend to our listeners?
Yes, Dave. Do you want a current movie or an old movie?
I want to know what you've been catching up on. Let's go with the current movie.
Okay, there was a documentary on Max, although I think it's probably still HBO Max. And that's a good thing, because we mentioned a few documentaries today. It's called Last Stop Larimer, Murder Down Under. Have you heard of this, Dave?
No, not at all.
I feel like this is right up Gina's alley, and you guys should check it out. It's you know, this Duplass Brothers production arm, and they did Wild Wild Country. This is about a town in the outback of Australia where there's only 11 residents, and one of them gets murdered. So literally, like, everyone in the town becomes a suspect, and it's, like I said, a documentary. Okay. So pretty good stuff.
Very cool. Yeah, that sounds great. I will have to check that out. What do you got going on, Jason? What do you want to plug?
I mean, awesome movie year. That's our thing, Dave. Still in 1987. Mm-hmm. And getting to all our fun holiday episodes for this season and this year, which we cover from different years. So check out Awesome Movie Year. You know where to find it on all the socials. And I'm Jason Harris Comedy, or J Harris Comedy. But really, go for Jason on Letterboxd. Come find me there. I'm acting in a new show in December, so we'll talk about that next month.
Awesome. Sounds good. Well, Jason, as always, thanks for being here, and we will talk to you soon for Killers of the Flower Moon.
Of course, Dave, because we're pros. This is what pros do.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, it's Ashley Ray, and I host the podcast TV I Say. Have you ever referred to television as your friend? Do you want 10 more seasons of And Just Like That? Did you rewatch every episode of King of Queens in 2020? Then this is the podcast for you. Join me and a new guest each week to discuss your favorite TV shows and my 90 Day Fiancé hot takes and my Below Deck hot takes and basically all my TV hot takes. Listen to TV I Say wherever you listen to your podcasts.
All right, so I hope you enjoyed that conversation with Jason Harris about some of the movies coming out in November 2023. Thanks to Jason for being here, and thank you to all you for listening. If you're enjoying Piecing It Together, make sure you're subscribed wherever it is that you listen to podcasts. And, of course, if you really enjoy the show, you could also drop us a little 5-star rating and review. That would be very helpful. And you could, of course, share the show, follow us on social media at PiecingPod, and don't forget about our Patreon, the Produced by David Rosen Patreon, where I post bonus and advanced content from Piecing It Together, as well as Jason's podcast, Awesome Movie Year, and stuff from my music career, all kinds of cool stuff over there. It's patreon.com/bydavidrosen. If you feel like supporting the show, it would be greatly appreciated if you sign up. We got a lot of stuff on the way over there. So, yeah, check it out. Aside from that, it's time to close this out with a piece of music. And even though this is about November, this is coming out. It's still Halloween when this comes out. This is coming out on Monday, October 30th. It's Halloween tomorrow, so I got to play some horror stuff. You know, I do have a playlist. It's called David Rosen, a Halloween playlist over on Spotify with some of my darkest and spookiest and creepiest type of music. Great for your Halloween parties. And I also just released a new horror film score called Blind Malice. And I've got a lot of music from this on that playlist. I'm going to play a song from that album, which of course is also on the playlist as well. This is a track called Blind Open. It's the first track on the Blind Malice score. It is on the Halloween playlist over on Spotify. Go check it out. And we'll be back with more Piecing It Together real soon.
an All Points West production, produced by David Rosen in Las Vegas.